is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Throwback Thursday today, 2007, on this state, Appalachian State beat Michigan at Ann Arbor. But we've been talking AFC West all week in our NFL previews, and we get to the last team that we've been previewing, and that's the Denver Broncos. And it just so happens that on the day we do it, Russell Wilson gets a five-year, $245 million contract. But a lot of stuff to dissect with the Broncos. Brandon Cristal joins us from KOA, and nobody covers Denver sports like Brandon. How are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good, Tony. Good to talk to you, as always. And, you know, it's funny. It was they wanted to announce the deal a day or two ago. I was like, well, I'm going to talk to Tony D on Thursday. So if you can hold it till just before about, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, 9 Eastern, that'd be great.
Then, and what's great about
more to talk about.
And what's great about it is they listen to you because they should listen to you, and they did do that. Wow, you're so powerful, my man. That's fantastic. Listen, 11 quarterbacks for this team since Peyton Manning retired, and I get it. Not every one of them was going to be the franchise guy, just people filling in. But in the end, what was missing? Why didn't any of them catch on and lead this team to a postseason?
Well, I think it's a number of reasons, but sometimes it's just the most obvious reason. They weren't good enough, right? Joe Flacco was at the end of his rope. Case Keenum, maybe you got the best out of him in Minnesota that year. He kind of caught lightning in a bottle, and he's more of a journeyman backup. Paxton Lynch was a miss all the way around. And Trevor Siemian, who, if you ask Emmanuel Sanders, will tell you in an honest moment, despite catching passes from Peyton Manning and Big Ben and Drew Brees, throws the most catchable ball that he's ever seen. But those guys just weren't going to be it. And Drew Locke, as we saw last weekend in his last audition to win that job outright in Seattle, just can't process things quickly enough and get out of his own way, even though he's got plenty of arm talent and is probably in the top 10 in that regard in terms of just overall physical QB talent right now. The mental side of it makes it a challenge for him at times. So I think that when you look at it, none of them were ever the right fit. They obviously skipped Josh Allen because they were a little scared of his inconsistency completing passes up at Wyoming, and so went Bradley Chubb instead, or maybe Josh Allen's still the quarterback here right now, although who knows how his development would have turned out. So it was a long six years in the desert of no playoffs, which we're not used to around here in Broncos country. But with Russell Wilson here and now here for the next 7 years and hopefully more at a high level, they seem to have it solved.
In terms of landing Russell Wilson, we know what his situation was in Seattle. He wanted to be part of the process. Is he going to be part of the process? Was that part of the reason Denver was attractive to him?
For a lot of it, although you never know until you get here. But I think that they were able to identify the Broncos and talk to people close to him. I mean, We've heard him say that he wanted to come here, and then I talked to his agent, his manager, a while back, right before training camp. They were in town and had been in town a bunch. And his agent, Mark Rogers, who Russ is his only football client. He's a baseball agent. He's like, Russ picked Denver. That was before the new owner was in place, but maybe part of it was knowing that he could influence the new owner a little bit. But you have a GM that is I think, known to work with players in his time in Minnesota as an assistant GM and work well with agents and George Payton and a new head coach who's certainly player-friendly and Nathaniel Hackett. So I think he identified all of it and thought that it'd be the right fit. And the Broncos let him have his own office upstairs next to the coaches' offices where he can spend all his time and his own personal physical therapist and his own personal nutritionist and his own personal QB coach. They hang out there when Russ is in team meetings. Or if Russ is in eating with his teammates or hanging out in the players' lounge, they're up in his office. Now, he's in his office a lot, but I think he knew that he would have a little bit of freedom to do the stuff that in Seattle at times maybe rubbed them the wrong way. And part of that, I think, is they got him as a kid, and then he grew into this superstar and married a pop star and is a huge corporation, which is a lot, especially if you're not winning as many games as you'd like. And you've seen him grow from this kid into this brand. But in Denver, they embrace it. And by the way, they had two pretty big brands at quarterback in John Elway and Peyton Manning. So they're used to making accommodations for superstar quarterbacks over the last three or four decades.
Nathaniel Hackett. I like the hire because I like the young coordinators that showed a lot of promise to get the job. But that's three straight hirings of guys who've never been a head coach before. Was there a feeling that somewhere out there was a veteran guy who could be a head coach, who was a head coach, that should be leading this team?
Well, I think the only guy that was close was Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn and GM George Payton know each other all the way back to almost 20 years ago working in the Dolphins when Dan was coming up as an assistant and George was a low man on the personnel staff there or, you know, working his way up. And so Dan Quinn, I think, had a good look at it, but I just think Nathaniel Hackett blew them away. I also heard Kevin O'Connell blew them away, which is part of the reason a guy that a few years ago, and I told Kevin the story, this isn't a secret, but we were at the Senior Bowl, and I was with Kevin and a couple of folks I know that he had played with that are now, one of them's an agent. And he was thinking, this is 2019 when he got let go from the Washington Commanders, which weren't the Commanders at the time. He was thinking about getting out of coaching. All right, but so anyway, that's a little side note. Because 3 years later, he not only has a ring, but he's the head coach of the Vikes, and they were just here, and apparently that's going great. But back to the Broncos and Hackett, he blew them away from the get-go. And if you watch any clips of him, and I know not everybody there is that's listening to you is in Denver, obviously, or follows the Broncos, but he's just a dynamic speaker, and so he can win a room easily and win over his players, but he's also grown up in football. His dad, Paul Hackett, was a coach Nathaniel's entire life, and so he moved around like coaches' families do, so he understands the nomadic part of that and having to adjust to new situations and work in new systems, and so he saw it up close with his dad. And then got into coaching when he was done with school and gave up his dream of playing in the pros and coming from UC Davis. That's not the easiest thing to do. So I think he quickly got into coaching. But he knows what he wants to do. And so he came in with a plan. And I asked George Payton about that because he did his press conference this week following the final cuts cuts to 53 and said that Nathaniel has a plan for everything he wants to do. So nothing that he's doing in terms of schedule and giving him a regen day, which is after 2 days of practice, they essentially have a jog through or a walk through, an intense walk through, which you don't see a lot in football practices. And they obviously didn't play starters in the preseason, which is something he saw with Matt LaFleur up close in Green Bay the last 3 years. He's seen Sean McVay do it for 5 years with the Rams. A lot of other teams are doing it. You know, I mentioned Kevin O'Connell. That's what he did with the Vikings. The Niners sat most of their starters, except that first game where Lance needed the O-line in there with them. And so he's doing things the way he wants to do it because he spent his whole life watching how coaches do things. So he's had a front row seat to see what he likes, what he thinks works, and what doesn't. And if it doesn't work this year, there's confidence that he'll tweak it and that he'll get it figured out. But I think he's the right guy for the job, and he's certainly a creative play designer. We'll see how he is as a creative play caller, because when you look at the chances he's had to call plays, they ran the ball really well at Syracuse, ran the ball okay at Buffalo, but his quarterbacks weren't good. And then he had Blake Bortles a few good plays away from a Super Bowl in Jacksonville, but it's still Blake Bortles. So now you give him the Ferrari that is Russell Wilson as a quarterback and some nice skill players around him. I think the sky's potentially the limit, but you've been talking AFC West all week. This division's a bear.
Bear, absolutely. The weapons around Russell Wilson. Some guys really are going to now step up. They haven't been given the national spotlight that we saw when Peyton Manning was throwing the ball, but who is around him and who does need to show up in 2022?
Well, Cortland Sutton, absolutely, as a guy who was a Pro Bowler a couple of years ago before his knee injury, he's a big target. He's not going to get great separation, but he runs better than people think. He's basically a clone of Michael Thomas, and so if he can match Michael Thomas's elite route running before all those injuries with his ability to go up and get 50-50 balls, he actually ran a little faster than Michael Thomas at the combine. I think he could return to Pro Bowl form, and he and Russ appear to have a connection. The loss of Tim Patrick's going to hurt, but Tim wasn't going to put up huge numbers. Tim is just such a reliable guy and a team leader. So Jerry Jeudy, who was a first-rounder just 3 years ago, is expected to live up to that. And last year, an injury in the opener slowed him down for the year, and the quarterback carousel with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke didn't help. But Jerry Jeudy should have a much better year. And then you mix in some of these young guys, K.J. Hamler, who they took a second-round pick on that same year as Jeudy, coming off an ACL and a hip injury from week 3. He played in the final preseason game, felt good, looked good, has elite speed. And this returner that they got from Samford, not Stanford with a T, Samford in Alabama, his name is Montrell Washington. He had a touchdown on an end-around. If they can get Montrell Washington and Hamler on the field at the same time, it's going to stress the defense. So I think those guys outside, as well as Albert Okwuegbunam, the speedy tight end, needs to learn to block a little better. That's why he played a lot in the preseason. And then they drafted this kid Greg Dulcich from UCLA in the third round, who's a good pass catcher that is going to start the year on IR, but could be back as early as week five. So he's got guys to throw to. And then behind him, he's got maybe the best 1-2 punch in football, or certainly high on the list, because Melvin Gordon last year almost had 1,000 yards, as did Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
And Javonte is going to be the starter. Melvin said that. But don't count Melvin out. I've already drafted Melvin on a couple fantasy teams because I think he's going to have something to say about what the red zone looks like. And I think they're going to have so many sustained longer drives than they had last year. I can count 10-play drives probably on one hand, Tony D. And this year they should have dozens of those, and you're not going to play the same running back for 12 or 13 plays. It just doesn't happen no matter who your back is.
Last night when I was kind of going over a couple of things around the Broncos, both locally and nationally, I wish I could remember where I read this, but one of the writers said the Broncos have twisted a lot of the defensive stats to make it look better than it really is. They couldn't really get to the quarterback. They were bad on third downs, but they kept teams from scoring. Is there some truth to that? Was the Denver defense a little bit needs a lot more work than what the statistics may have said?
I don't know if they need more work, but I think that there is some truth to the statistics being a little misleading. Vic Fangio is a hell of a defensive coordinator, and if the games would have been more in the balance, I think that his defense would have been able to get home. When you had Von Miller for a couple of those years, as well as Bradley Chubb and the other players they have that can make plays on the back end. But the truth is that teams knew the Broncos weren't going to score, and so they didn't have to pull out their whole bag of tricks, right? Andy Reid didn't have to get overly creative,
right,
against the Broncos and teams that could run it up on that. Look, they beat Justin Herbert and the Chargers each of the last 2 years, and I understand one was his rookie year, one was his second year, and they haven't gone to the playoffs, had a new coach last year. But the Chargers didn't have to get overly creative either, and nobody really did. So they weren't able to get to the quarterback because they were almost never playing with the lead, and teams didn't have to, I don't say didn't have to game plan, but didn't have to overthink it against the Broncos. They knew if they could get to 17, 18, 19, 20, they'd probably win the game, and most times they did. So I think that there is talent there, and Bradley Chubb looks like he's back in his 2019 Pro Bowl form, and Randy Gregory is healthy-ish for now, right? Even when he's been healthy, take the drug stuff away, Randy Gregory hasn't been healthy all year long in his time with the Cowboys the last few years. I think the most games he's played is 11 or 12. They really like Baron Browning, the kid from Ohio State who played inside last year. They moved him outside, and he's been wreaking havoc. And then they might have the best secondary in football. Certainly Pat Surtain's up there in terms of best corners, and Justin Simmons in terms of best safeties. Kareem Jackson has found a renaissance playing safety after a decade at corner or thereabouts in Houston. He's a more natural fit at a safety. And then they add Kaywan Williams, who's as good a slot corner as there is in football, coming over from the Niners, and Ronald Darby solid. So if the pass rush could create any kind of pressure, I think they will have more takeaways, but their lives will all be made easier by Russell Wilson and the offense scoring points. How about this? The Broncos haven't scored more than 22 points since Peyton Manning retired. The most they had was that first year with Trevor Siemian, or maybe they were right at 22.1. They've been under 23 times, including last year. Russell Wilson has never scored less than 22 points in any of his 10 seasons in Seattle, despite some pedestrian offenses with questionable talent around him.
This is why I like having you on, man. You pack so much in a 10-minute segment. It's going to take me another hour to unpack it all, my friend. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Tony D. And I know people are still drafting fantasy players. I'd go Cortland Sutton as the first receiver ahead of Judy. And don't sleep on Gordon. People are going to overdraft Javonte Williams, and I think there'll be value there, but I think there's better value with Gordon. And if you've got a rookie league, take Montrell Washington super late, where you have to draft a rookie, because I think he will factor into the game plan.
You're the best, my friend. Thank you as always, man. Appreciate it.
See you, Tony. All right.
You got
bye-bye.
It. Brandon Gastal, KOA on Broncos. God, that was a lot. I was trying to take notes. I was filled with information. Remember that, folks. The Broncos didn't score over 20 points but once since Peyton Manning retired, and Russell Wilson has never scored less than 20 points. So that's going to affect, yeah, that's good stuff. We'll break it down coming up next on Wake Up Call.